Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
6:33 on a Wednesday evening, 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Thank you for joining us. Well, they're generally not lethal, but they can be. And with recent concerns over whether stun guns are now being overused by police officers, a new Michigan State University study takes the most comprehensive look to date into the safety of stun guns in a law enforcement setting. Lead researcher on the project is Bill Terrell. He's an MSU Associate Professor of Criminal Justice. He joins me now to tell us what he discovered. Bill, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Now, there are certainly many of these videos we see where stun guns are being demonstrated. Did you yourself have any interest in testing that experience during your research?
I had no interest, and I didn't do it.
I see. Well, okay, let's talk about stun guns that are now being used by over 11,000 law enforcement agencies across the country. Proponents say they are a much better option than officers having to go to their firearm. So what did your study find?
Well, compared to virtually all other types of force, short of the firearm, that when officers use taser, suspect injuries were greatly enhanced. They were significantly more likely to be injured, the severity of the injuries were higher, and they were more likely to require transport to some kind of medical facility, such as a hospital or a clinic.
Okay, well, what percentage of the time, then, when a stun gun was used by a police officer, did that result in an injury?
Roughly 41% of the time when they used it and 28% when they did not.
Well, okay, 41%, not quite half the time.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about when you say an injury? What is the premise of that? What does that cover? I mean, falling down, is that a potential injury?
It could be, and so there could be a case. There could be, and there were some cases where the taser or the CED was used and the person fell down. And the large majority of injuries are burns and lacerations.
I see. So basically, this is what happens when a stun gun is used. You're saying that it enters the skin or the clothing somehow and creates a burn.
Yeah, so it comes in two modes. So if you have a taser, for instance, and by the way, taser is just the primary manufacturer of CEDs, or conducted energy devices. It's deployed in two modes. One is stun mode, and that's where it's pressed against your skin or clothing. And the second mode is probe mode, which means there's two darts with wires attached to them, and it's fired out of the weapon. And those two darts come up and attempt to penetrate into your skin.
So what is it that's causing injuries in 40% of the time and 60% of the time there are no injuries? I mean, why aren't, in some cases, are there no burns at all?
Yeah, it's interesting we were a little bit surprised that for us personally, that was less than 50% of the time that they were injured. But there could be cases where the weapons used and both probes don't go in. The stun mode is used against the clothing and it doesn't get down to the skin to actually cause a burn. And so actually a majority of the time there was no injury as evidenced by the officer's report.
What about the officers themselves? How are they viewing the stun gun and how often are they actually utilizing it?
Almost universally, we did seven cities. In our seven cities, almost universally, officers loved it. And they predominantly loved it because while it increases the risk of suspect injury, it decreases their risk. And that's an important element of the use of CEDs. And so, you know, it's a viable option for police officers, especially because it reduces the odds of their injury. So officers were injured when they used the taser only 5% of the time. But when they did not use the taser, that doubled to 10% of the time.
I'm talking to Bill Terrell, MSU Associate Professor of Criminal Justice. He is the lead author of a new study that investigates the use of stun guns in the law enforcement setting. So Bill, when you talk about the use of stun guns, is there any evidence at all that police officers are misusing stun guns and overusing them?
There's some evidence. I've seen nothing other than kind of anecdotal reports and individual type of case studies, which we certainly can't dismiss them. But I haven't seen anything comprehensive that would indicate that. So I wouldn't venture to go and say they're being misused or overused at this point.
So the other options then, what is it? It's using a pepper spray or maybe wrestling a suspect to the ground.
Yeah.
And in those cases, then, I mean, I guess the question is, how do officers get injured, especially when they're using a pepper spray? Is it mostly then that they're physically trying to wrestle a suspect, and that's why they seem to get hurt more often when they're not using a stun gun?
Yes. Yep. So you get into, you know, if the choice is for officers, and our findings definitively show this, if the choice is between, I'm going to go hands, what officers will often refer to as going hands-on with the suspect in some form, if the choice is between that and using the taser or the conducted energy device, the preferable option is going to be the taser, because it's going to reduce their injuries rather than going hands-on and getting into a wrestling match.
Many law-abiding citizens would say, look, you resist arrest, then you know what, you're lucky you're not potentially even getting shot. Officers should have every weapon, even if it means a likelihood of injuring a suspect. It certainly is preferable to have them use a stun gun and avoid injury themselves. How do you view that perspective?
I think that's completely plausible and reasonable. Having said that, I think there's, you know, some context with this, and one is officers aren't always using the taser when they're dealing with an actively or aggressively type of resistant suspect. And that's some of these videos that you'll see captured sometimes is the suspect is being verbally resistant or offering some kind of lower level resistance. The second element is that, you know, if you have to make the choice between is the officer going to get injured or the suspect injured, I think there's no question there. You go with the safety of the officer first. The unanswered question at this point is how effective are they? So the taser is designed to incapacitate the suspect, and there's very little evidence. Myself and the team of researchers at University of Central Florida and Illinois State is working on that issue with these data to see, well, how effective is it? Perhaps it's very effective, perhaps it's not. I can tell you the preliminary results are indicating that it may not be quite as effective as a manufacturer such as Taser International suggested.
Well, what are you saying, that people that are being stunned are somehow not being subdued?
Right, because think about the stun mode. The officer has to get close enough to actually get it onto the suspect in the contact mode. And on the probe mode, you need both of those darts to connect and enter. And if only one of the darts, you're not going to get the full impact of the up to 50,000 volts of electricity. And so in a perfect world where we see it in training videos, right, they shoot the person and both of the probes connect and then they go down. But out in the field, that's not always occurring.
Last year, there was a police officer shooting of a teen that had broken into a bank here in Lansing. And while officers were carrying, or they can carry stun guns, there apparently is no policy that requires the weapon to be on board. How do most police departments handle it? Does each officer just make the decision for themselves?
They do, but within the confines of most. We did a national study on taser policy, and a large majority of those departments had a fairly distinct policy on use of force and then a subsection on use of CEDs or tasers. So I think departments are doing a pretty good job with their policy guidance on guiding those officers of when and how to use it.
I see. So now the policies are clear. Are the officers then usually following them in terms of dictating? Well, let me ask you this. What does dictate typically in a police policy that it's time to use the stun gun?
The majority of policies indicate that the officer must be faced with some sort of aggressive assault of type of resistance, unless there's extenuating circumstances. And so the idea is that suspect is attempting to physically fight you or has the capacity to cause up to deadly force, but if deadly force, they hope they use the firearm. So most policies indicate you can use the taser when they're actively attempting to hurt you
suspect. So verbal confrontation never does qualify.
I wouldn't say never. We did have a handful of departments that did allow it in that circumstance, but a large majority do not allow it in that circumstance.
You know, Michigan is now considering a law that would allow concealed weapons permit holders to carry a stun gun. From your research, does that sound like a good idea to you?
Well, we didn't address that. I would say that I would have some caution. I'd be concerned about that. If officers who are trained at a very high rate these days in most states, if their use of a CED or a taser is causing more injuries, I worry about the minimal training that citizens are getting through their firearm types of trainings, which just would fall under. And so, you know, I'm a little concerned about that. I'm a little concerned about, you know, the mindset of a citizen using that type of weapon that has that potential versus an officer.
Although your research does find then that when it comes to actual death, which happens apparently on a rare occasion, that is in fact something that is very unlikely to happen when someone is being stunned.
Yeah, very unlikely. Now, there's a study out of Indiana yesterday. It's the first study that fairly definitively makes that full connection and makes the claim, to my understanding, that tasers are not non-lethal, that they actually should be considered or could be considered a lethal weapon. So we'll see where that goes.
And the burns themselves that do occur, they're fairly minor. They essentially, it's not a hospital stay that's involved, right?
We didn't get up to hospital stays, but I wouldn't classify them as fairly minor. Our models and our stats show that they were more likely to be injured, and those burns and lacerations were significant enough to require transportation to a medical facility.
So maybe the next step is maybe a net gun, you think, to somehow engulf the suspect?
I'm sorry, a what?
Maybe a net gun is maybe that's the solution here.
So some are experimenting with that, yes.
I see. Well, Bill Terrell, MSU Associate Professor of Criminal Justice. His latest study, very comprehensive one, looking at taser use and stun gun use in police departments. Bill, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
We're coming right back to talk about pain and how we're dealing with it. Yesterday we talked about babies born addicted to opiates. Well, it's a major problem for adults also in the U.S. We'll find out how it can really be effectively addressed. That's next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.